Whenever a person follows someone or something, you can usually tell what they follow by how they look, right? So I'm gonna quiz you guys. I'm gonna show you some images, and I want you to tell me who it is that they follow. All right, here's the first one. What is this dude? Bills fan. That's right. What about this guy? Smart guy here. He's a smart dude. Hey, he's a good Cowboy fan. And you know what? It doesn't have to just be with sports. It could be religious people as well, such as, what is that? Yeah. What about this next one? Muslim. Now, what about a Jesus follower? What would they look like? You know, many people have this misconception of what Jesus would look like, a follower of Christ, so they would automatically assume something like that. Or one of them Bible thumpers. So what should a Christ follower truly look like? When people can see Jesus in you, if they can see Jesus through your life, what should they see? To get a glimpse of this, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, of chapter 5, excuse me. Luke chapter 5. And look what it says there. We're going to have the verses up on screen. They're in your bulletin as well. Luke 5, 1 through 3. Here we go. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. I want to stop there real quick because a lot of things have happened. A lot of amazing things have happened on the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus stilled the waters in that crazy storm. This is the place where he walked on water. This is where he fed nearly 5,000 people right on the shoreline. And now we have this passage right here. So Jesus is preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. You have people excited to hear the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. So it's just another day, Sea of Galilee. You've got some fishermen, they're doing their thing, cleaning their boats, long night. It's one of those disappointing nights where they hadn't caught any kind of fish. So they're just doing their thing, doing their routine. Jesus decides to start to preach, and large crowds of people start to show up. Now, what's interesting here is this idea that the longer Jesus is preaching, the more people start to show up. The more he's talking, crowds grow and grow and grow. And I've never had this problem. Seems like the longer that I talk, the more the crowds start to thin out. Hence my 20, 25-minute sermons. And so Jesus is preaching, and people are starting to press forward. They want to hear the word of God. And Jesus, at this point, he looks around. There's a lot of people, and he sees two boats there in the distance that aren't no longer in use. And he says, you know what, I'm going to make use of one of those boats. And I just love how Jesus is, he's just looking always at any resource available to further the kingdom of God. Imagine if we can do that. Look at all our resources with eternal value. Think of the impact and the difference we could really make. And so Jesus sees a boat. One happens to belong to Peter. And it's those late mornings. Guys are tired. They've been up all night. They've been trying to catch fish. They struck out, cleaning their fishing nets. At this point, you know they just want to get home. But Jesus comes up. He said, well, wait. You guys aren't going home yet. We're going to make use of those boats. So let me stop there. Imagine it's one of those horrible Mondays. Monday just dealing with bad customers, clients, overload and work, systems are down. It's just one of those crazy, hectic days. You got a birthday party to get to at 6. It's already 6:30. Your wife or your husband's blowing up your phone. Where are you? Where are you? I'm trying to get home. I'm trying to get home. Finally, you shut down the computer. You close the laptop. You're ready to call it a day. And then you get a call from your boss. Hey, before you leave, I need for you to send out a few more emails. I need for you to make a few more other calls and take care of these copies for me. You can best believe you'd have a really nice thing or two to say to your boss, right? Well, this is what's happening to Peter. Jesus makes an odd request at a bad time. And this response that Peter gives is something that really helps him make a big difference towards him following Jesus. And you may be at this point right now in your life, where maybe you've been open to Jesus. Maybe you've kind of, yeah, this is interesting. This is something I'm interested in, want to possibly get involved in, but you're not all in. That's okay for now, because following Jesus is a process. But that you're willing to check things out to see what it's all about, that's a good place to be. That's how Peter started out. And so Jesus, now he's in this boat. He put some space in between him and the people, and he's giving his message. He's closing out the sermon. And at this point, the guys are definitely saying, wow, this is a great message, Jesus. Thank you. I needed to hear that. But man, it's been a long night, and I'm ready to get home. So they're starting to get ready to pack in. But Jesus wasn't done telling Peter what to do yet. Look what happens in verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. He says, day's not over yet, guys. You thought you went fishing? Let's take the boats back out there. Something interesting, too, is that in the text it says that Jesus had just finished teaching, and now he's saying, let's go fishing. And I think this is kind of cool that Jesus preached and fished in the same kind of clothes. That's cool. And so Peter's fixing to row the boat back up into shore. And he's ready to call it a day. And Jesus says, we're not done yet. We're going to go fishing again. Now keep in mind, this is a carpenter. This is a teacher telling a fisherman what to do. He says, get the nets and get the boat and get everything messy all over again. We're going to catch some fish. Now, why would Jesus do that? He's not a fisherman. He's a carpenter. He doesn't fish. And you just know at this point, Peter's like, come on, Jesus. We just cleaned up our nets. We just cleaned up the boat. Guys are wiped out. We're disappointed. If it had to do with wood, if it had to do with a teaching of the Bible, I would defer to you. But right now, everyone knows it's not a good time to fish. Sun's out, fish are hiding, they're scared. You're a carpenter, I respect that. You're a rabbi, I respect that. But the truth is, you know preaching, I know fishing. You know what this is like? It'd be like me coming to, say, one of the doctors here at our church, and I get someone from the church come up and say, hey, I need some prayer. I haven't been feeling well. I went to see Dr. B. He tells me I have strep throat. Do you mind praying for me? And I turned to him. I said, you know what? You don't have strep throat. I want you to go back and tell Dr. B that you don't have strep throat. He misdiagnosed you. And you tell him that I said that. You better believe that when this guy goes back there and tells Dr. B, hey, Ed says that I don't have strep throat, that you need to re-diagnose me. Dr. B is going to be like, dude, Ed's barely a preacher, and he ain't no doctor. Right? It's his area of expertise. He knows what he's doing. And when someone comes in and begins to tell him what to do, well, it's natural to resist. Now, maybe this is happening to you. God knows a lot about spiritual stuff. God knows the heavenly things and religious things and prayers and things like that. But when it comes to my parenting, when it comes to my family, when it comes to my finances, I've been doing it for years. I've got a system. I know it works. So no thank you, God. I got this side. So if God comes along and he says, hey, I want you to trust me and follow my lead in this area, how would you react? Would you say, God, I've been doing this for years. I know what I'm doing. No thank you. This is my area of expertise. You handle the things I can't control, and bless them, by the way. But these things over here, my kids, my family, my money, I've got it. I've got this covered. See, sometimes God asks you to obey him, to do something that just doesn't make any sense, that brings you out of your comfort zone. Like Peter, Jesus will say to us, hey, I want you to do something that maybe you've done 1,000 times before, but I want you to do them differently. I want you to do it my way. Will you do it his way? Will you allow God to be your God? Will you allow him to show you that he is God? Well, here's Peter's response, verse 5. Peter answers, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Now here's the key phrase. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And this brings us to our very first characteristic if you're a follower of Jesus. You know what you're going to look like? You're going to look obedient. Christ followers are obedient. Jesus, because you say so, Peter was obedient. See, Peter had great reason to object based on what he knew about the situation, and yet he still obeyed because Jesus said so. Do you do things that Jesus tells you to do just because he says so? Or do you have to have reason? Are you the type that looks for reason? Here's what Jesus wants me to do, but I got to make sense of it. I got to understand what he wants. Is it practical? Will it bring forth my agenda? Will it help me? See, that's not really obeying Jesus. You know what you're doing? You're seeking his opinion every once in a while. You're saying, hey, Jesus, this is what's going on in my life. Yeah. I know you want me to do this. I know you wanted me to make sacrificial givings. And I know you want me to serve. And I know you want me to be involved in your church. But does it make sense to me? Is it bringing forth my agenda? Probably not. So you're wrong with this, Jesus. Thanks for your opinion. But maybe I'll come to you with something else. Is that how you approach it? To obey is to do what Jesus tells you because you trust in what he says. You say, Lord, I'm going to obey what you tell me because I trust in what you say. You know what this is like? Some of the ways that we react to God and what he wants us to do is, take my 16-year-old son, William, okay? He comes up to me, Dad, there's just incredible bash, back to school bash coming up at a friend's house in Jamestown. And they've invited me. Is it okay if I go over there? Well, who's going to be there? Well, the parents are out of town, and there's, you know, the guys brought a couple of kegs, and it's just going to be just us, just a house party, nothing big, nothing major. No, you're not going to go. Why? Because it's probably not safe, and keg of what? No, you can't go. Hey, Dad, I appreciate your opinion, but I'm going to go. Wouldn't happen, right? He's not going to do it because he trusts my judgment over his desire. Right? He trusts in what I say over his own desires. Let me tell you, if we want to look like Christ followers, we got to be obedient to what Jesus says because we trust him. We trust his judgment, even over our very own desires. And here's a second way to have the look of Christ in you. Number two, followers of Jesus look humble. We're humble. Verse 6, 7. When they had done so, in other words, when they had obeyed, which I love this because they obeyed and look what happens. They caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. There was a blessing. You obey, you get blessed. And they signaled to their partners in the boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that it began to sink. Now think about this. Simon Peter, he sees all sorts of fish coming. They were fishing all, there was nothing. All of a sudden, boatloads of fish. Do you see Peter saying, hey man, now that we got Jesus on our side, we can start the largest fishing franchise in the history. We can call it the Peter Jesus Gump Fishing Company. See, Peter could have put all his focus on the fish and the profits and showed off to everyone, hey, you got how many fish there? Look at us. Check it out. You caught off, what, 6 pounds? Look at this 80-pounder. He could have just done all that and even rained that fish if he wanted to. But how did Peter truly react? Verse 8. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, the boats were full of fish. You know what he did? He fell to his knees before Jesus and he said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. In front of everyone, Peter humbles himself and calls Jesus Lord. Do you see what's happening here? Verse 5, Peter acknowledges Jesus is Master. He says, Master, in other words, he's Rabbi, sign of respect, yes, to be sure. Verse 8, right here, he is acknowledging that he is in the presence of the Lord, that he's in the presence of God. And he recognizes who all blessings come from. That changes everything. Changes everything in his life. And so many times, many of us, we react in two ways. One way, we don't need God. We don't need Jesus. I got this. I'm in control of my life. You're never going to meet Jesus when you're in that moment. But on the flip side, many people, they think, I've got to clean up my act. I've got to change these certain areas of my life before I go to church. I've got to do certain things before I get to know God. There's some things that are pending that I got to clear up. This scene also shows us that being a sinner does not disqualify you from following Jesus. That all it takes is for us to humble ourselves and acknowledge who Jesus is. See, Peter wasn't the super spiritual guy, but he also wasn't prideful. The way he started to follow Jesus is he recognized who Jesus is and he recognized who he was, a sinner. That's what we need to do. To follow Jesus, we be humble, we be obedient, and here's the third characteristic to following Jesus. We've got to look caring. Peter just started following Jesus. He's already inviting other people to follow along in this journey. And you know, at this moment, I think of my life before I was called into ministry. I was in the business world and dealing with real estate and investments. And let me tell you something. All the trade secrets that I had, I would never share with anybody. I wanted an advantage over any possible competitor that I had because I wanted to reap the most profits. And so I kept all these secrets and the benefits of knowing the business to myself. I wouldn't share it with anybody. And here's Peter, who is the owner of a fishing company. And when this miracle happens, because he's following Jesus, because he's around Jesus, you know what he does? He cares enough to influence others so that they would follow Jesus as well. Look at verses 9 and 10. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so James, John, and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners, and Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Later we see James and John become disciples because Peter cared enough to influence them. Influence them to do what? Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. See, before these guys, you know what they do? They'd catch fish, take it to the market, trade it for cash. Catch more fish, take it to the market, trade it for cash. Nothing wrong with cash. But think about this. The value of a dollar against the value of someone's destiny. The value of a dollar versus someone's eternity. Do you want in your life for your focus to be about that, or do you want to have an impact on other people's destinies? Are you or will you be a fisher of men? In other words, do you love, do you care enough about your family, your friends, your co-workers, the people in this community to introduce them to Jesus? Because we know the impact Jesus can have in our lives. And it's the only way for them to have their eternal destiny secure. Do you care enough about that? And number four, we see, be obedient, humble, care about other people's destinies. And number four, Jesus' followers look sacrificial. Here we see Peter, James, and John make this incredible sacrifice. Look at verse 11. They pulled up their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Just recently, we went fishing up on the charter boat. I got invited, and we were out there fishing. And in the distance, we see this beautiful boat, and the captain of the boat says, hey, take a guess how much that boat is. And a lot of us were guessing, like 50,000. No, 70,000. No. He said, $180,000. We're like, wow, for a boat? Man. As we were pulling in, there was some other nice boat. You think that, what about this one right here? Take a guess that. $250,000. Just a boat just parked there doing nothing. Probably sitting there for probably the whole time. This is since winter, maybe. Just like, wow. So can you imagine? And I'm thinking to myself, can you imagine someone walking away from all of that, surrendering it all to follow Jesus? That's what these guys did. They surrendered their boats. They surrendered their plans. They surrendered their lifestyles as a means of gaining something more. Yes, you know what that more was? To follow Jesus. And there are people that are probably listening to this, and when you hear sacrifice, and when you hear you got to give things up, immediately you get turned off. Why? You're oppressed by it. I mean, what if Jesus asked me to do something I don't want to do? You know what my response to you is? Of course Jesus is going to want you to do something you don't want to do. Nobody has ever achieved greatness in any field without first sacrificing themselves for something greater. And if you want to follow Jesus, you've got to sacrifice your time. You've got to sacrifice your money, your energy, your lifestyle. And I preach to you in no way, shape, or form suggesting that I've completely sacrificed everything for Jesus, because I haven't. There are some things that I continue to struggle with. But I hope to get there too. And this I can tell you, that the greatest times in my life have been when I get to those moments, when I give it all up for Jesus. And make no mistake about it, you too are built for such a thing. You too are built for absolute obedience to your Creator. You were made to follow Jesus. It's no wonder that the times that we disobey, or we fall off, or we get caught up in things that we know we're not supposed to, we're left lifeless, empty, and we're gasping for something more. You know, on this trip, I was thinking, reel was out, line was casted out. Captain turns to me and he says, hey, you want this one? And I jump up and I say, yeah. And so I'm there and I'm reeling. And I kid you not, it's been about 10 minutes. And I was just like, man, there's nothing still. And the captain looks at me and he says, oh, hey. And he tightens, I don't know what he did, he tightened something on the on the rod, and he says, you're actually letting it go further out. And he tightens it, and he says, okay, try now. So I'm there, kid you not, another 15 minutes, and I'm just like, man, my arm's hurting. I just can't wait for this, and I start to see it kind of creep in, and I'm like, yes, this is going to be a monster. And it comes up, and it's this little worm dangling. And I was waiting for him to say, hey, you want to take a picture of this? He didn't. He's a good guy. Very disappointed. Especially when I got 10-year-olds around me catching these monster ones, right? Now, I caught a few. And what started to happen is when we would catch them and they'd flop on the boat and they just kind of toss them in the ice chest, I started to actually feel sorry for these fish, you know? They were just gasping for air, gasping. And occasionally, it was mainly me, I'd catch these little cute things like this. And he would say, no, you can't keep these. We got to throw these back. And so I'd see these little fish just flopping around, gasping for air. And he'd grab the little guy and he'd toss him in the water. And you see, as soon as he went into that water, man, his life was revived immediately. I mean, he flicked his tail and he was just like, full of joy. It was just this happy fish just out. Why? Because he's in the medium that he was built for. Just amazing transformation, the little fish. You know what I like in that too? When he was out of his element, he was there gasping for air. I liken that to those who are not followers of Jesus. You may not know this, but you're on this pavement and you're gasping for breath. You're gasping for life. And you're searching it for all sorts of things. And you've tried and you've tried. And you know there ain't nothing that's filling that gap. And so you're gasping for life. Inside, you're dying. Inside, you're dying spiritually. It's time for you to go all in and follow Jesus. And this goes for all of us. It's time to hold nothing back. Ain't no more telling God, hey, you can have this, you can lead in this area, but not this one. It's time to say, God, my whole life is yours. Everything, my future, my money, my relationships. God, I want your will to be done in every area of my life. I want to follow you. I want to go all in. Let me tell you, once we do such a thing, you know what it's like? It's like that little fish get thrown back in that water. Just an unbelievable revival. Incredible amount of joy. Why? Because that's what we were built for. Wait and see. I'm telling you. You go all in. You follow Jesus. You will see an incredible revival spiritually in your personal life and in our church. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word, your presence, and this is all about you and honoring you and lifting you up. And I just want to take a moment to just pray for those that have never taken that step to follow you, to say, I want Jesus in my life. I've done it all sorts of different ways, and it ain't working. And I want to go all in. I want to follow Jesus. Take that step of faith. And Lord, I pray for us as your church and your people that we would represent you, that we would look and resemble Christ followers, that we would be humble, that we would be caring, loving, sacrificial. I pray this, Jesus, for every one of us.